numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And Kelly, it finally happened. After years of crushing the NFL draft, thought this was a possibility. I get beat on the NFL draft. You?
Yeah, they got us.
What makes it, by the way, we'll talk NFL draft several times today. Frank Schwab will join us from Yahoo to discuss winners and losers as well. We'll have some thoughts on that as well. Although I think winners and losers kind of consensus. But what makes it, I guess what makes it from, you'll speak for yourself here, but I think we've, on this show, been consistent about how does anybody watch college football, specifically when it comes to the quarterbacks, right? Every time Kentucky had a big moment, Will Levis came up small. And did anybody see C.J. Stroud all season long and crushing Georgia? So that's what made this all very peculiar. And then in the end, he goes second, and Will Levis is still in the green room. Let's just go through this one by one. First of all, you would agree with that's the frustrating part for us? Because we had that conviction the whole time.
Oh, yes. I'm most frustrated in myself, but it's part of what we talk about every summer, where like we end up making more NFL futures bets and talking about more things because we have hours and hours and hours of shows to
yes,
do that you like sometimes convince yourself into thoughts. And after you're sitting there after the second pick yesterday, and it's like it was Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, one way or the other. The whole time.
I think
it was that way
the whole
time.
Well, what's fascinating about it all is, first of all, let's just start at the top of the draft. The Reddit post from a few days ago, we came on right after that happened, and we immediately said, this is a bunch of nonsense, right? This is the dumbest thing we've ever heard. And that proved to be. How many people do you think bet Will Levis to go number one based on that Reddit post?
A ton. Because we saw the odds move.
The other thing was, in the end, C.J. Stroud wasn't like a huge favorite to go number two until the final hour, right before the draft, where he climbed all the way to -2,500. We still had people saying, oh, it's going to be Will Anderson. No, betting market knows something right at the very end.
And so it did swing that way.
Oh, at the last hour, because at like 3 p.m. Pacific, so 2 hours before the draft, it was like, you know, Anderson was still a slight favorite. And then it just motored the last hour. It got to like -2,500.
Okay, because I'll be honest. I checked out after when you and I were texting yesterday like, this has gotten so ridiculous.
You had to almost.
Yeah, or I was like, I'm checking out till this thing actually starts.
But I'd say second thing beyond the Reddit post that was ridiculous was also, so we talked about this as well, but there was all this talk about the leaked cognitive test, the S2, was it called? Where C.J. Stroud got 18th percentile, and everybody went on and on and on about that. We also mentioned it here on this show. But did anyone ever talk about Will Levis's toe being this huge concern for all these teams? No. Until last night, it was like, oh, yeah, it's been a huge concern. So,
well, it wasn't really reported on, right?
Well, that's the thing. So Young goes first, which we all kind of knew was going to happen. Stroud goes second. And then the other curveball, and by the way, Daniel Jeremiah did have this right. He, on his final mock draft, he had 1, 2, 3 perfect. He had Stroud going to the Texans second, and he had the Texans trading back to get Will Anderson at 3. Or did he go Anderson-Stroud? I can't remember.
It was one way or the other, yeah.
But the trade that they made, so when you're going through like winners and losers of the draft, you almost can't. Listen, I remember when the Skins drafted LeVar Arrington and Chris Samuels second and third back in 2000, which was the last time anybody had taken two players in the top three. I think the Colts were the only other ones when they had Emptman and Corriott years before that at 1 and 2. But this was, you can't almost make them the winner because what they traded to go back in was they gave up the 12th pick, the 33rd pick in this draft, along with a first and a third next year, to get Anderson in the 105th pick. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
To give up. But they end up with Stroud and Anderson. And then here's the thing. Going into yesterday, besides Bryce Young to the Panthers, was there anything that you felt more strongly about that if Levis is available at 4, the Colts will take him?
No, I thought it would be one of the two.
I really had convinced myself. I had convinced myself.
You had convinced yourself? Yeah. I really didn't know which one was the two. I'm not going to sit here and say I thought it was going to be Anthony Richardson either. I thought it would be one of the quarterbacks. I mean, I really thought there was a good chance quarterbacks were going to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
It could be. So they go Richardson, which really then sends this into, okay, where are we going from here? The Seahawks weren't supposed to take Witherspoon. The one thing we did get right, we said on this show and on the podcast, on the Beating the Book podcast, the Seahawks would absolutely not draft Jalen Carter. And that turned out to be true, even though Jalen Carter was like a minus 650 favorite to go number five. So we had that right. I didn't bet it accordingly.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Right. So shame on me. The Cardinals trade back in to get Paris Johnson at six.
So that's where just my personal betting.
This is where it goes crazy, right?
That trade hosed me at three, right? Because if that's the Cardinals probably would have taken Paris Johnson anyways if they couldn't get a trade partner for that third pick. And I have that top five on Paris Johnson at 29-1. So they move out a few picks. And I had Will Anderson over 3.5. So that trade for three is what really screwed me.
Well, at this point, then I'm like, oh, so Tyree Wilson's going to be the person who drops way down.
Yep.
And he was the favorite to go number two a couple days ago. The Raiders take him at seven. And I get it. They can't take Jalen Carter because they have the whole Henry Ruggs situation. They can't take any controversy. So then at eight, the Falcons go Bijan. Great player, but, like, that's the position you need?
It's the weirdest thing ever. I still don't get it.
And if you thought that was weird, then the Bears do the entire National Football League a total disservice. And for a fourth-round pick, swap with the Eagles, who take Jalen Carter no problem. By the way, this was a tweet from, who set this in?
I mean,
Tom F., T for three.
What a silly draft. Like, for the Eagles, like, this is...
Oh, they're the huge winners. Tom F., T for three, tweeted yesterday, goes, at a point in the show, a mention of Carter to the Eagles came up, and you said something to the effect of, because that's what they need. Commodes fan moment bleeding in there. That's exactly right, because that's what they need. And so, and by the way, of course, later they get Nolan Smith. So you're talking with the Eagles in the last two drafts, Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith yesterday, Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. They are recreating the Georgia Bulldogs defense, and why wouldn't you? Eagles are going to be massive NFC favorites from here on in.
It's still odd, though. Like, you don't see that often. You know, I mean, like, you are literally reconstructing what the Georgia defense was in 2021 and the stars that were on it.
Yeah, by the way, well, you know, Skins tried to do it with Alabama players for a while, too. By the way, apologies to the 49ers and Seahawks, but the Eagles will be favorites in all this. And then Darnell Wright goes to the Bears at 10. Jeremiah had him mocked at 31.
Yeah.
The other curious thing, of course, was the Lions. The Lions who traded out of six with the Cardinals. And then at 12, take, and good for you because you had the over on the running backs, take Jahmyr Gibbs. So they could have had Bijan at six. They also could have had Gibbs at 18 where they initially were.
Yeah,
it was just bizarre. The whole thing was bizarre with them.
Yeah, and from a betting perspective, that one really irritates me because I just sat here for weeks. I like us over 1.5 running backs. I like us over 1.5. Plus 400, plus 300, plus 200. Now I'm jumping at plus 150.
Oh,
I loved
man.
Gibbs so much. I mean, I think the thing with Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, Gil, it's the – like, I don't fully get it from the Falcons' perspective either, but if you're telling me I'm getting an Alvin Kamara-like weapon for my offense –
You must think he's that.
You have to think he's that.
Yeah. Right?
And for both of them. And I think that applies to Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Well, the Jahmyr Gibbs thing is curious, right? Because I would think one of those other Detroit backs might be on the trading block today.
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, Swift – I mean, they just got Montgomery, so it won't be him. But Swift could be traded, one would imagine. I'm just guessing because it's like that's super crowded.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that was odd. You know, I didn't even remember they got Montgomery. So when they said that last night, I was like, yeah, that's a crowded backfield.
So Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith to the Eagles. I mean, if we're doing the whole win, the interesting thing about when you do winners and losers, I mean, that's what every network does after this, non-betting, just in terms of the teams. But I think it's noteworthy this year because it feels like everybody's in agreement on who they are, right? That like everybody's on the same page. The Eagles were for one. With Jalen Carter, who Chris Velika was on yesterday, said he's the best player in the draft. Mel Kiper had him as the best player in the draft. A lot of people did. So they get Carter and Smith. And then the Seahawks get Devin Witherspoon, as we mentioned, at 5, and they get Jackson Smith and Njigba at 20, the first wideout drafted, one of the few things I got right. And then there was the run on wide receivers. But they end up with Witherspoon and Jackson Smith and Njigba, so good on them. And I do think, like, Baltimore, after re-signing Lamar Jackson yesterday, which was the big news before the draft, and good on Lamar Jackson, no one complaining about him being his own agent today.
Yep.
So get that out of here.
Yep.
But the most predictable pick in the moment was the Ravens at 22 picking a wideout, and they end up with Zay Flowers, who was the third wide receiver taken off because Quentin Johnston went in between.
That was shocking to me. That really was, because we kept talking about it the past couple of days. When did we hadn't heard about Johnson or Addison, it felt like, in months, anybody talking highly about them. Lamar, though, he gets his deal. You get a wide receiver. It ends up being this glorious day for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Like, what a weird story for us talking about for months. What's going on there?
It's unbelievable.
And then we're just going to move on. Like, we're not going to think about it ever again.
So, by the way, there was the Christian Gonzalez drop. We'll talk with Frank Schwab about that as well. He ends up with New England at 17. And then there's four guys. Will Levis, still in the green room, if you will, virtually. Will Levis, who the Titans are now the favorite, the short shot to pick him. The Titans have the 10th pick in the second round. So he'd have to get by the Raiders and the Saints again to get to the Titans. By the way, the Raiders are 8-1. The Saints are 16-1 to take him. Brian Branch still there. Joey Porter Jr. still in the green room. Michael Mayer still in the green room as well. So those are the four guys who had it a bit awkward yesterday. We'll talk more NFL draft with Frank Schwab as we lick our wounds on that. NBA. There was an NBA game last night. Our thoughts on the Celtics-Sixers line next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. We mentioned you could still bet now on, you know, Will Levis. Which team will he go to? That's available at DraftKings, where the Tennessee Titans at +350 and the Rams at +350 are the co-short shots. I mentioned to get to the Titans, who have the 10th pick in the second round, still has to get to, you know, some teams that perhaps might be interested in a quarterback. The Raiders at 8-1, the Saints at 16-1. But listen, they passed on him once before. So who's to say they won't again? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The toe thing is interesting. What I didn't like hearing this morning from like national media is kind of
attitude stuff.
Well, no. It was like the teams using Will Levis as a smokescreen and stuff. I'm like, I don't. Where'd he get used? Where did he really get used? I mean, the first overall pick, the second overall pick, he had to know he wasn't going there.
You could also bet on offensive and defensive rookie of the year at this point.
These are interesting.
These are interesting because, it's again, with offense, your eyes immediately go to the quarterbacks. Well, nope, they're not the short shot. Bijan Robinson is at 4-1. The Atlanta Falcons, Bijan Robinson out of the University of Texas. Bryce Young would be the second short shot at +475. By the way, were you watching the draft coverage before the actual draft started? They lined up everybody that they had invited to the draft itself, all the prospective draftees that they invited. They lined them up side by side on the big stage in Kansas City. By the way, we'll talk to Paul Carr. He's got Premier League picks, but he's also a Kansas City native. We'll talk about that. But like Bryce Young and Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers wide out, okay. But Bryce Young is so small, dude. So small.
I almost texted you. I didn't see that, but just when he was selected, you're like,
"Oh,
who's this high schooler that like we're bringing to the NFL?"
And again, the historical comp, the only person, and he's taller than Bryce Young that has been Hall of Fame-ish is Drew Brees at that height. So Bryce Young's at +475 to be the offensive rookie of the year, right behind Bijan Robinson. Then it's Jackson Smith and Njigba, +650 of the Seahawks. They grabbed him at 20. Then it's Stroud at 7-1 with the Texans. You see Jahmyr Gibbs in there as well. Anthony Richardson's 12-1 with the Colts. Then a couple wideouts in Jordan Addison of the Vikings and Zay Flowers of the Ravens. Then it's Hendon Hooker, undrafted yet, as of yet, at 20-1.
My man Ryan, who does our graphics, like the just NFL logo. You haven't been drafted yet, kid.
Zach Charbonnet, the running back from UCLA, also at 20-1. That's a curious guy to have at 20-1 undrafted. Yeah. Where is Levis on that, you might ask?
I'll have to check.
He is not there.
There was a bunch of guys bunched at 20-1 there.
So, I mean, I don't know. Would you make a bet here at this point on this?
Okay, I find these interesting just from I think you have to start at quarterbacks. And the fact that the quarterbacks are not at the top, and especially, okay, you got Bryce Young second, but the fact that Stroud is behind Jackson Smith and the Jigba, like, that's pretty shocking to me. I know this Texans team does not have a ton of talent on that roster, and it's going to be a pretty rough year, but Jackson Smith Najigba is going to be the third wide receiver on the Seahawks. Like, I'm going to take a starting quarterback over that. I'll tell you, the bet I would make if I knew he was going to start would be Anthony Richardson. Because Richardson's going to put up rushing yards no matter what he does as a quarterback. He's going to put up rushing numbers. So, but the problem is I don't know that he's going to start week one.
Well, Jackson Smith Najigba has been good to me, and I might actually take a flyer on him. Because we've now had precedent of wide receivers being offensive rookie of the year. And if I think he's that good, which I do. Remember the famous conversation with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Jackson Smith and Jigba, where all three sitting there and the reporter asked, who's the best of all of you? And immediately Olave and Garrett Wilson pointed Smith and Jigba. And if you saw him play in that Rose Bowl, you have no doubts about that as well. I don't know, because I don't – Bryce Young plays for a crappy team. C.J. Stroud, excuse me, guys, Bryce Young plays for what could be a crappy team. C.J. Stroud certainly does. Anthony Richardson. The reason that I was so surprised he went to the Colts is because Colts don't have a bridge quarterback. So you're going to throw Anthony Richardson into the fire. I don't know.
They got Minshew, right?
They got Minshew. They do have Minshew.
I mean, I think I would expect Minshew's going to start the year.
He will, but I don't consider him a bridge quarterback Let's go to defensive rookie of the year. Will Anderson is the short shot, and by a good amount at +350. Then you have Wilson and Carter at 8-1, and Devin Witherspoon at 9-1. That feels like Jalen Carter or nothing to me. You wouldn't take a flyer at Jalen Carter at 8-1? I know it's a stacked Eagles defense.
I think Tyree Wilson's got a good chance, too, as a pass rusher there.
We didn't talk about Emmanuel Forbes and Christian Gonzalez yet. So Washington at 16... they had their pick of the cornerback litter, and they decided to go Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State. Now, that's an interesting pick for them because he's a ball hawk. They play a lot of zone. He's used to playing a lot of zone, so it fits. But New England, who had traded down to go right behind Washington at 17, could not wait to make their pick right after that. So usually these teams will wait out the whole clock. As soon as Washington picked Emmanuel Forbes, Belichick and the Patriots were like, Gonzalez!
Yep.
So it was like, he better be good. But, like, if he's picking off passes like some of these guys were last year, like the Tariq Woolens of the world, I don't know. Maybe that's a sneaky play.
I like that one. I mean, he was a ball hawk last season at Oregon, right? Like, I think that you got to get interceptions if you're going to win this kind of award.
Well, they're all available at DraftKings. NBA last night, because while all this was going on, there was an actual NBA game, and apparently it was pretty good. I didn't watch much of it. I don't know about you, Kelly.
I had it on.
But at one point, we were like, Hawks! And it looked like the Hawks were very much live to force a Game 7 back in Boston in their best-of-seven first-round series. Celtics led by 10 in the first quarter, but it was 35-34 at the end of the frame. Hawks led by as many as 7 in the second quarter, but the half ended with the Celtics up a point. The margin was never greater than 5 either way in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, it was never anything but a one-score game for the whole first 7 minutes. And it got to 113-110 Atlanta with 5 minutes left. Atlanta had two opportunities to increase that lead, missed a couple threes. And then Boston goes on an 11-0 run late to go up 121-113. They cruise from there to a 128-120 win. And if you're a Hawks preflop better, that is brutal.
Yes.
Brutal.
Yeah. Real story of this game was Trae Young. I don't even know what he finished with in the first half, but it was he had like 20 in the first quarter, finishes with 30 for the game.
30 and 10.
And yeah, it was, 10 assists. It just felt like the whole second half, he didn't play well. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, if he looked anything like himself in the first half, Hawks would be running away with this game, and we're going back to Boston for game seven. Big pullout win by Boston on the road. Needed to get that done. I mean, things would have got a little tight if you had to go back for game seven.
So we have our third of the four conference semifinals intact now. We know it will be the second-seeded Celtics with home court against the number three Sixers have been sitting around. Were you surprised that the Celtics were opened as -330 series favorites?
No. No, just because the questions about Joel Embiid and his injury status.
It really does come to that.
Yeah.
-310 is where it's settled in now at DraftKings.
And it's tough, you know, from a betting standpoint, whether we're talking series prices or game one, I don't think you can do much right now. Like, I need to know more about what Joel Embiid is going to be able to do, if he's going to be able to play at all in game one, game two. So it sounds more and more like he is going to play, but they were very unsure of that just a couple days ago.
Not a great matchup for the Sixers.
No, it is not.
Knicks have taken some money, and they're 5-8. Eastern Conference semi, the other one against the Heat. Knicks are -155 now. The Heat +130 coming back. And the Nuggets Suns remains Suns -140 this whole time. The 1-4 in the Western Conference with the Suns, the fourth seed, the favorite.
Yeah, I don't get it. I do have bets in on the Nuggets at +122. Made that one. And then I made a smaller series play just on the Knicks at -150 as that number started to move more the Knicks way. I think they have an advantage in that series. I think that number should be a little bit more than that. We've gone over many times what Miami did shooting wise in that first round. You would expect that to regress a bit in this second round series. I don't think Tibbs is not going to handle Jimmy Butler the same way that Budenholzer chose to handle Jimmy Butler. So I give the Knicks a pretty nice advantage. I thought that was going to be more like -200 for the Knicks. So small bet for me on the series price there, but I'll be taking that mainly game to game.
Tonight, we see if we can determine the final conference semi. The Warriors and the Lakers, respectively, trying to close out the Kings and the Grizzlies. Warriors are 7.5-point favorites. The Lakers are 4.5-point favorites against the Grizzlies. Neither wants to have to go to a game seven on the opposing team's home court. You would agree that the Lakers are the more precarious one if they do?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They certainly don't want to go to Memphis for a game seven.
I really like the Warriors tonight, though.
I do,
laying
too.
Seven. I think they get this done.
Close them out, Dubs. Close them out. We'll come back. Frank Schwab on the NFL draft. Paul Carr, Premier League picks. Andy McNeil on the Stanley Cup playoffs. What a night in hockey it is.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, and VSiN's upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99. at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from J.D. Emmons in Alabama, in northern Alabama. He says, another thank you. Second biggest winning day of my life. It figures what did he say here? Oh, four figures. That's a lot for me, he said. You said the draft is the best betting vehicle, and I listened. I zigged when everyone zagged for 1 year, and it paid off big time tonight. Well, good for you, J.D.
Yeah.
I wish we had bet our convictions in the same way that you did.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad that you took advantage of that, because we did get a lot right. It just didn't manifest in most of the bets. And this is from Scott, New York Mets 16. He goes, do you think Detroit made the trade backwards, thinking there was no way Atlanta was taking a running back and Bijan would still be there when they picked at 12? Good plan with good probability of working out, but just not to be. Well, that's interesting. Because Warren Sharp just tweeted this out. I don't know if he just tweeted this, but this is a Warren Sharp tweet. He said, the Falcons believing they needed Bijan when their scheme last year allowed their running backs to rank, are you ready for this, Kelly? Number one in rushing yards, number one in yards per carry, number one in rushing first downs, number two in EPA per rush, number three in success rate, number three in first downs, and touchdowns per touch. And they drafted a running back.
Wow.
Let's bring in Frank Schwab from Yahoo. He covers the NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports at Yahoo Schwab. Always great to see him. How you doing, Frank?
Gil, my man. What's going on, dude?
How you doing? I guess we should start there. I mean, among the curious moves of the night, obviously Detroit ranks right up there. I mean, do you believe that was the most curious, the Detroit-Atlanta shenanigans?
Yeah, Detroit way more than Atlanta. Look, at least Atlanta drafting a running back 8, I don't love it, but at least they got a really high-end running back. Like, this is, he's not quite Saquon Barkley prospect level, but he's close. Bijan's awesome. I get it, at least from that aspect. I wouldn't have made that pick in a million years. I don't think they're a running back away. Tyler Algier, as you kind of alluded to, their fifth-round rookie last year, had a really good season. So you kind of make him obsolete. Why? Because he's a cheap asset. You have so many needs, especially on defense. No way I draft a running back. And all that said, still thought that was a better pick than the Lions. I don't know what the Lions were doing. I think everybody's involved in this chorus now.
I do too.
Not alone, but not just Jahmyr Gibbs, who is a 199-pound running back, who is not going to be a bell cow type. And they just signed David Montgomery. And I like DeAndre Swift. They obviously don't. But then to back that up with Jack Campbell, an off-ball linebacker, 18, when I said this on our podcast last night. He ain't Luke Kuechly. Like, he's good, solid off-ball linebacker. But the Detroit Lions had 2 picks in the top 18. They're obviously favorites to win the NFC North right now. They could add some impact players to get them over the hump. And they go with 2 non-premium positions with the top 18 picks. Position value is just not Detroit's friend last night.
Yeah, I said at the top, I was like, it's really interesting. Like, the consensus on who won, Eagles and Seahawks versus who did something curious, Lions, maybe the Falcons. But again, if Bijan is great, it won't matter in the end. I think that's pretty much consensus. Let me just ask you other things, which is, give me the under-the-radar team and person picked and player picked that you think is actually a sneaky great selection in this first round.
You know, I'll go, not necessarily the player, but I was railing about, again, our podcast last night, just thinking about it, because we just wrapped it up at about midnight. The Arizona Cardinals. Look, when I do my power rankings, look, I mark them down 32-1, right? I've been having this conversation in my head of who's the worst team in football this year? Is it Arizona or Houston? Arizona has both of those picks now in the first round next year, because what they did was they sat there at number 3. They really like Paris Johnson, the offensive lineman. And then Houston comes with this ridiculous offer. They don't offer Cleveland's pick from the Deshaun Watson trade. They're like, no, we'll give you our pick next year.
Yeah.
Houston's like, Arizona's like, sure, why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah.
They move back. They move up, get the guy they wanted anyway, Paris Johnson at number 6. And now they might Entman and Coriot this thing. You remember that reference. Mm-hmm. They might have the first 2 picks of next year's draft. And even if you say, well, you know, they don't need a quarterback if Kyler bounces back, they could trade that Caleb Williams pick for a mint, draft Marvin Harrison number 2 if they want, hypothetically. I thought Houston really got taken in that trade, but was really impressed with Arizona. That's how you kind of start rebuilding your team. You add assets like that. So if you're asking me kind of an under-the-radar team that really, really helped itself, it's the Arizona Cardinals. And not what's going to happen this year, but when we go on the clock next year and they have 2 prime picks in a good draft.
Let me ask you about something else that was sort of random. And a lot of people thought this was a great pick, and I was like, wow, is that really what they needed? At 24... the Vikings went Jordan Addison. Now, everybody loves Jordan Addison, transfer from Pitt to USC. A lot of people thought he was the best wide receiver prospect, even better than Jackson Smith and Ajigba, according to some, not to me, but according to some. Their defense is so bad, so bad. Was that a curious pick to you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I at least I get it. I mean, Justin Jefferson is going to need somebody taking some attention away. And I guess you make your strength stronger. You take the best guy on the board, whatever cliche you want to use. That's kind of what happened there. But I agree with you. Their defense was horrible. We all saw Daniel Jones carve them up into playoffs. You would think that they'd really make that a priority. But when you get to – look, this was not a good draft. I think we all know that. We've talked about that. I listened to your show the other day when you were talking about draft props, and you guys kind of seemed to agree. This was just not a good crop of players. So I wonder if the Vikings in that spot – didn't really have a first-round grade on anybody left. And they just said, who's the best guy? Okay, it's Addison. Let's stick to our board and take him. He does fill a need, even though it's not really the need that we have to fill in that. The defense is just bad, like you said. So, yeah, a little bit curious, but I just wonder if they got stuck with, this isn't a great draft. There's not a great player we love. Let's just take who's on top of our board.
We didn't get to 4.5 quarterbacks. We didn't even get to 4. We only ended up with 3. We didn't get to 5.5 offensive linemen. Over was a massive favorite for a lot of that. We didn't get to 16.5 offensive players. Which is the most surprising of that group?
It's honestly the offensive players, because I didn't know that until you told me. That's pretty surprising, and I know you guys really liked that prop. I did too, just because it seemed like this was an offensive-heavy draft. The obvious thing here is Will Levis, and I get that the mock drafters sometimes push guys up when the NFL teams don't like them that much. But and I the whole like Mike number two, look, the number one, the Reddit thing, whatever, that was just kind of dumb. We all knew that. But number two, when I woke up yesterday morning to start writing, Will Levis was the favorite to go number two overall. Yeah. Obviously the draft betting markets are really soft and they're obviously not accurate. But to fall out of the first round, that shocked me. When teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tennessee Titans, your Washington Commanders, the Lions and Seahawks passed twice each. And you could have envisioned a scenario where they're like, we got our veteran. Will Levis can learn behind them. We can use the second pick on a developmental quarterback. Nobody took the bait. And so when we get started with the draft today and everybody's asking, where does Will Levis go? I don't know, because all these teams have passed on him already. And why would they all of a sudden go, that's our guy? If you were that smitten with him, you already would have taken him. That was the big shocker to me, that we didn't get the four quarterbacks. But yes, the offensive player was one.
Well,
that
was surprising. I'm totally with you on the Levis thing. And again, I sort of started the show by saying, in one way, it is refreshing, because Kelly and I, we've been sitting here for a month plus saying, like, did anybody watch college football? Like, every time they had a big moment, he came up small. And C.J. Stroud was just awesome. Did we forget this all of a sudden? And in the end, C.J. Stroud goes two, and Will Levis hasn't been drafted yet. So I like that part of it, although not from a betting standpoint, as it, you know, did I exploit it? But with the Levis thing, like, give me what part of this is this toe injury? What part of this is this supposed arrogance that he showed perhaps in interviews? Or third, what part of it is what I just mentioned, which is maybe he's just not a first rounder?
I think it's three. The toe injury is kind of something that somebody leaks out there to kind of be like, oh, this is why. It's not because he's a bad player. It's because, I mean, guys go, Jameson Williams was coming off a torn ACL. He's a receiver, uses his speed, and he went number 12 last year. This toe injury can't be that bad. It's not debilitating. Like, I mean, I think that Will Levis is going to be able to play through this thing. This injury we had never heard of, by the way. I just think part of it probably was he didn't come off well in interviews.
Yeah.
Not even a single word. Part of it is, he came off bad in interviews. You heard that a lot. But I think it is just... Look, I mean, no, he's not Josh Allen necessarily. You turn on the film, like you said, you look at his last year at Kentucky. He just wasn't great. He had his moments for sure, but not first round moments. Not consistently enough to be in that first round. But still, you could have. I thought, yeah, maybe he falls a little bit at 20. Yeah, if that's crazy, 25. If we're getting really out of control, but all the way out of the first round is just insane to me. I did not see that coming in any way.
Real quick, as you alluded to this, which of those teams, Titans, Raiders, Buccaneers, Commanders, Vikings, even Saints, because the Vikings would want an apprentice. Which was the team where you're like, I cannot believe even they didn't take him? Which was
probably Tampa Bay.
I think so too.
Because they're so thin at quarterback. But I could at least see that in that Tampa Bay is like, well, we're going to stink this year, maybe Drake May next year, maybe Caleb Williams. The Titans, though, the Titans were a team where I was like, you're not even going to be in a position to draft a guy. So what are you doing there?
Ron Rivera said they didn't even consider it for a second. Like, it was just like, no, we're not taking him. Frank, great to see you. Enjoy tonight's second and third rounds. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Frank Schwab from Yahoo, everybody. We'll come back and we'll talk Premier League picks with Paul Carr. He was in Kansas City. I don't think he went. Let's find out what the buzz was in town. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday Major League Baseball game, and if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $20, that is. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. That's BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in is required, however. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jason H11, no one cares about this silly NFL stuff. We want tennis picks or the name of the sushi place, your choice. Tennis picks, 5 out of 7 the last, we're on a 5 out of 7 run, 5-2. We lost on Eugenie Bouchard this morning. We're up a break in the Quentin Halas match. Those are the only two bets of the day, so hopefully we split on those. But again, all of that at VSiN.com/picks, and the reason that we don't talk about them on this show is because they're already, in many cases, already started. Because we are playing in Madrid, in España. So they're overnight. It's in terms of, you know, as it's juxtaposed against this show. So check it out, VSiN.com/picks for subscribers only on that. Chance Copperpot, who's been, I usually skip over Chance's tweets, but Kelly, he's been betting the Rays just minus everything every night.
I'm glad he keeps tweeting these.
I do too,
because it's kind of it's fascinating. It's
and
fascinating.
He admits this is going to come crashing down at some point, but like he keeps doing -2, -3, -4 every night, and he's making a killing. Nemesis Enforcer talking about JD Emmons from Alabama, who made a killing on the draft. He says, "Wonder how much zagging the Alabama better did was due to just Alabama fandom with Anderson." Was probably on Bryce early and doubled with the dip and grab plus money. A win is a win. Yeah, I mean, could very well have been. Could very well have been. And this is from, and this was yesterday because we had Crack on yesterday, Bill Krakenberger, and I don't think Bill would object to this characterization. And what would you say, Kelly, that we, who had won every single draft up until now, were very, we knew this was a possibility, that we would lose. Yeah. Crack was super confident. And so Wadzilla asked, he goes, "Can you ask Crack if his confidence in this draft bet, if his confidence was warranted? Much respect." Crack actually did text me during the draft last night, and he said, "You were right." Like, he seemed really surprised by it. He was like, "Wow, we really didn't make a killing." Now, he said he made a small win, so I hope he did get in the black on that. But yeah, it wasn't nearly the windfall, and even he said that as well.
Yeah, I think there's, from a betting standpoint, like, there's definitely regrets. I think there's the regrets from my end this year.
Mistakes were made.
The regrets from my end this year would be not being confident in the stuff I really just personally believed
that's
in.
That's what
right?
we and said, yeah.
And that's the Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. At the end of the day, there was no way those guys weren't going 1-2 in one order or the other. And I really liked the two running backs.
You did.
And I kept saying it, and I kept not betting it, and I only bet it at once.
That's your own personal sword to fall on.
Yes, it really irritated me when Gibbs goes off, what was it, 12?
12. They were done by 12.
I'm like, sweet, cash. Should have been so much more.
I only ended up getting, what did I get in the end? Oh, so I did get the over on Broderick Jones, barely.
Yep.
Jackson Smith and Jigba to go first, which was +350. That was my one truly great bet. And then, what was the third? Oh, and then Zay to go over 21.5 as well. So, but that's it. Like, I had the over quarterbacks. Nope. I had the over offensive linemen, which I laid juice on. Nope. And then I had all the problem with this draft is that I bet this, I had a lot of, that was dead money to begin with, right? So the CJ Stroud bets right off the top.
Yeah.
But Jackson Smith and Jigba did not go under. That was bad too, because I bet it a few times. And then Lucas Van Ness, who I had going top 10, ends up going 12th.
Yeah, it was tough.
And I had him under 11.5. Brutal. By the way, the Patriots, Levis to the Patriots, I got excited twice.
Of course.
At 14 course. And at 17. Because that would have bailed me out of everything and I would have won the draft.
Yeah. I was thinking about you when they were on the clock.
But again, my imitation of the Patriots at 17, right after the Commanders drafted. The Washington Commanders select Mississippi State quarterback Emmanuel Forbes. Christian Gonzalez!
We're ready!
they couldn't wait to draft him there. That was a quick deflating moment as well. Paul Carr joins us now from Topeka, Kansas, in the heart of the country. Literally, if you do a little like vertical and horizontal in the middle of the country, I think it pops right at Topeka pretty much. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. It's pretty close. It's Lebanon, Kansas is the geographic center of the, you know, the lower 48. It's kind of north central Kansas, probably hour or two from here.
Hour to Lebanon. Lebanon, Kansas is your answer to that question. Yeah.
Now you know.
Now you know.
There you go.
So you did not attend the draft last night.
No, I live about an hour away. I am going over to Kansas City this afternoon for some other stuff. So we're going to at least make a pass and see what's going on and hope the barbecue places aren't too packed and everything. So, but yeah, I stayed away from the craziness.
Yeah. It looked like a great scene, man. Good for Kansas City.
Looked great on TV. Weather was good.
And felt like, as they kept saying over and over, felt like a Super Bowl coronation. You know, finally, their last celebration of it.
It worked out super nicely. I almost wanted the Chiefs to trade out of 31, trade down just for... Not, I didn't really want this.
Oh, for the anticlimactic nature of it?
Yeah. All these people stayed the whole time. We have the trophies. And the Chiefs have traded the Patriots.
Traded their selection. That's right. That would have been a really sad way to end that. Okay, let's get to the Premier League. Before we get to your picks, can we just talk about Man City and Arsenal? So Man City did what everybody thought they would do, is beat Arsenal. Maybe they didn't think they'd crush them like they did. Maybe you did. So here we are, Man City, a huge favorite now to win this. There's still 2 points behind Arsenal. Arsenal has 5 games to play. Arsenal, is it just the schedule that Arsenal can't get this done? Like, is it that?
And City has two more games left.
Two
City
more games.
7 games left.
Right.
Yeah. So City's got 2 extra games,
oh,
two games
right.
in hand.
That's right.
So and a little bit of it's the schedule. Yeah. Arsenal has to go to Newcastle. That's really the toughest game for either team left. The only glimmer of hope for Arsenal is that, obviously, City has to play those games and something has to go right.
Right.
City has a couple Champions League semifinals mixed in against Real Madrid. So they're going to have 9 games in 29 days, City will, before the end of the season. And then City ends at Brighton and at Brentford. And those are both, you know, solid top half teams. That's the only hope that Arsenal really has of, you know, City's just got to almost collapse.
So it's the extra 2 games, which the assumption being that those will be used as an opportunity to get ahead of Arsenal in the standings. By the way, again, Valet, my friend who is a huge Arsenal fan, he's already, just every time he sees me, just shakes his head. Let's start with the last of your 3 games first. We don't usually do this, but it involves Arsenal. You do think Arsenal rolls by Chelsea?
Yeah, this is Monday game. This is as much about Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea played Brentford midweek, and Chelsea just looked like they want to mail the season. And we're at the point of the season where sometimes these mid-table teams that, where you can't really get into a European spot, you're safe from relegation, will just kind of, you know, putz their way to the finish line. And I think Chelsea's in that here. They've lost 5 games under Frank Lampard. They've only scored 1 goal in the 5 games, which is a little, you know, unlucky, but they're still, part of the reason they're underachieving their expected goals is because they're taking a lot of low probability, long range shots. They've lost Reece James, one of their better defenders, Mason Mount, who has been historically the last couple of years, one of their better attackers. They're both out for the season. So this is really a fade Chelsea thing. So I'll lay the goal and a half with Arsenal and get about plus 200. Just think again, Chelsea's done. Arsenal obviously has something to play for. They're a much better team. And I'll lay that and get a nice plus money price on it.
All right. That's not till Monday though, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So let's go back to this weekend. Now, what do you got tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we're going to go to Brentford. Brentford is hosting Nottingham Forest, the ever-popular take-the-better team motif here. This is pretty simple. Brentford is a solid top-half team. Forest is battling relegation. That's the only thing they have going for them, but they have been just awful on the road all season. You know, they try to play a little tighter, but have not been very good at it. They have 7 goals in 16 away games. They've lost 12 of the last 16 away, including 6 in a row. And none of those are really very fluky when you look at all the underlying numbers. They're just not good on the road. Brentford took care of business at Chelsea midweek. I think they'll do it again here. So it's juicy, but I played minus 150 for a Brentford win.
And then Sunday, you are playing Man City, but you're doing it in the same game parlay sort of way.
Yeah, this is I almost feel like I don't have to explain this pick, but assuming you can do this at your book, I have a Man City win at Fulham and over 2.5 total goals, which I got to minus 130. Fulham's like Chelsea. They're kind of mid-table, not going anywhere up or down. Alexander Mitrovic is out. They had 1 shot against Aston Villa midweek, 1 shot. And even though they had the ball about half the time, now they're going to have the ball about a third of the time against City. And again, City's just rolling. They're the best team in the world. Fulham's defense, not so good. This is kind of a brain dead parlay of sorts for your parlance. City win over 2.5 goals, minus 130.
Thank you so much for attributing that to me. The brain dead parlay. So it's Brentford tomorrow. It's Man City and the over in the game against Fulham on Sunday, the parlay.
Yep.
And then Monday, it's Arsenal giving the goal and the half against Chelsea. Paul, good luck. I know you're on a bit
of a
roll here. Good luck to us all. Thank you so much, sir. Paul Carr,
have a good
everybody.
Weekend.
You too, at Paul Carr. From the Expected Value Podcast. JVT on the NBA, Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports.